Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
An Erios original.
With anti-Asian hate crimes at record numbers, this season of The Margaret Cho, we're examining the historical crimes that laid the groundwork for this recent onslaught of violence. I talk with Asian comedians, authors, journalists, podcasters, as well as the organizations and people working to stop Asian hate.
Welcome to The Margaret Cho, Mortal Minority. Today we're talking about a modern crime that really upset me, the attack of the Brooklyn chef and her cat. So crazy. Okay, also we're talking about John Allen Chow, the 26-year-old missionary who was killed when he tried to convert the remote North Sentinelese tribe in 2018. My guest today is comedian and host of the podcast, Let's Go Otsko, Otsko Okotska. Hi, how are you feeling with everything happening right now?
I'm keeping alert, high alert. You know, I'm close with my grandma and my mom.
I know. Oh, they're so beautiful.
My grandma also, too, it's like she just got vaccinated, so she's out and about.
Oh, good.
For the first time.
Yeah.
She's taking walks alone, going grocery shopping alone. So I'm just a little worried for her, you know?
Yeah, it's scary. I mean, it's like, you just don't know. And it seems like it's an escalating issue. Like every day there's something else.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a new, painful, horrible incident. And it's like, there's so much now in the news and social media about stopping AAPI hate, but how much of that has really like gotten into society?
Yeah, you know? I think it's hard too, because it's like individuals doing it. It's not like there's a system we can take down, you know, or fix, right? Besides, you know, being like, hey, don't call it the Kung Flu virus and stuff, but it's individual acts. So it is hard to try to pinpoint how to stop it, you know?
Yeah. It goes beyond sort of like the casual racism of Donald Trump and the invisibility of Asian Americans in the media. It's beyond that. Like there's way more. So it's disheartening and also scary, and also scary for older people.
For sure.
Especially scary for older people.
Yeah. How are your parents?
They're like not scared. They're like, you know, they don't say anything. They go, oh, you know, they don't really. That's about it. That's all I get out of it. Cause they're just very like, I don't know. I think there's always been so much of it that they've experienced, and they've experienced a lot of different kinds of racism, especially coming to America in the 1960s. So the cumulative effect of it is a kind of exhaustion.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, well, you know, this is another part of this journey here.
Right.
This place that isn't really our home, even though we've been here for 60 years.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know? And sometimes it's like, maybe if we don't talk about it or think about it too much, it won't happen. And I haven't talked to my grandma about it, really, because I don't want to scare her. I just go, oh, be careful when you're at H Mart. Just be careful, because I don't live with her, so I don't get to, you know, be there for her And it's not like I have fighting skills either.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, do they have like added security at H Mart? Do they like have like the Ranch 99 is locked down? Like, it's like very like,
yeah,
armored trucks in front of Ranch 99 Market, like, or like H Mart, or
right,
you know?
No, it's still the same, just like the only protection there is against COVID, so it's just hand sanitizers and they check your temperature, but not against violence. No,
I like the weird heat sensitive like thing that you'd go walk through if you're going to like Mana Market or like the Galleria, Koreatown Galleria. You go through like, and it just shows you like all the heated parts of your body if you go through.
Yeah, totally. I'm like, can you also check my insides? Like, how was my liver, you know?
Yeah, I was like linger by that. I'm like, ooh, I want to see like, where's my heat coming from? Like, it's very, I don't know, like it's, did you get vaccinated yet?
I did. You?
Yes, I'm fully vaccinated. Although, so I have Moderna. So now I have, is it 2 weeks after you get the second shot that you have to, then you're fully vaccinated? Or I don't know. Something like that.
Yeah, they say that.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So did you, which one did you get?
I got the Dolly Parton one too, Moderna.
The Moderna, yeah. Cool. Mm-hmm. So we're a little bit country. Where did you go to get yours?
I just good old CVS where I have
cute.
Yeah, I love my points system there. So I did a little shopping after. Yeah. How about you?
Mm-hmm. I went to Dodger Stadium and it was like going to a concert. The last time I went to Dodger Stadium was to see Paul McCartney. it was just as exciting. No, it was probably more exciting because I couldn't wait to get vaccinated. Like, I was so happy to finally be eligible. And so I just got right on it. I want to get all of the vaccines.
Hell yeah.
Like, I'm so down.
Yeah.
I'm so down with syringes. I like love a shot. So.
Ooh, that's so hot. Yeah.
Yeah. Down I love a syringe. I love it. I love a little like a needle shot, but it just makes you feel secure and safe. I'm still going to mask and I'm still going to socially distance and I'm, you know, do all of that. But I feel like a sense of relief.
Yeah, same. I'm still terrified of the common cold. So
I'm afraid of the cold too.
Yeah, I remember at the very beginning of the pandemic too, I was afraid wearing masks because it was new. And I knew I had an Asian face, so I didn't want to look sick to people. Does that make sense?
Of course.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially with the way that there's so much violence against Asians, that it's like the time is that we're in, it's like hazardous. Everything like having to do with like identity is hazardous. And so I want to get into the modern crime. This is what really upset me.
Yeah.
All of it is upsetting, but this particular crime really upset me. Mm-hmm. So this just happened on, it was April 4th. And a woman named Chanan Aksornan, also known as Chef Bao Bao. She's on Instagram as Chef Bao Bao. She was walking her cats, Ponzu and Kimchi, and her dog, Tofu, and her parakeet, Mangle,
I know.
In a Brooklyn park, when a boy ran towards her and grabbed Ponzu's leash, the cat's leash, with such force that it flew into the air before hitting the ground, and the boy dragged the cat. Then a family of eight people that belonged to the boy's family pounced on Chef Bao Bao and beat her up, killed the cat, punched the parakeet.
That's wild.
Which is like, I think it's a parrot, actually, not a parakeet. It's a parrot. But punch the parrot. Why are you going to punch a parrot?
It's so wild.
They pulled the dog's tail. The cat's dead.
Yeah.
Her partner was also beaten. His nose is broken. And they kicked her to the ground. And you see the video of it. It really went viral.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hate crime. I'm sorry. I don't know why people question like hate crimes. They're like, we're not sure if it's hate crime. It's a hate crime.
It's a hate crime.
And the cat got killed.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how, what kind of people, you know, what do we do when we're having a stressful day? We watch cat videos. We watch animal videos. How can you see a couple having such a quirky family, a freaking parrot, a cat, a dog, you know what I mean? And not think these are lovely people.
No.
It's so wild. It's gotta have, you gotta have so much hate in your heart to be like, I'm also gonna punch the parrot.
The parrot? Like, why do you need to punch a parrot? And so they've arrested a woman named Evelyn Serrano, who was charged with the assault. I mean, also her family, like there's like eight mm-hmm. family members involved.
Yeah.
It's assault. And this is Brooklyn. This is not like, I mean, this is like a park in Brooklyn, you know, they're mm-hmm. just like walking. And the cat was Instagram famous. So the cat has quite a few followers on. I know, Ponzu. And they actually had a dodo, you know, that channel, the dodo. I followed on YouTube and it was like, they're like a whole like in social media presence, the dodo.
Oh, got it.
It started as this like justice for Ponzu campaign, and people are definitely talking about it a lot. It's trending. Hashtag justice for Ponzu is trending on Instagram, where Ponzu had over 38,000 followers.
These were influencers, Margaret.
The Thai consulate has been in touch to offer assistance. So Chenan's Aksornan Chef Babo owns an Asian restaurant called Bauberg in Brooklyn, mm-hmm. which I would love to go to. But I think it's just really terrible. And, you know, yeah. it's not a person who's died, but this is still like, it's triggering for me because one time I was attacked by a family. And when I read about this incident, it reminded me, and this happened about 10 years ago.
Oh, God.
And I had totally forgotten that I was attacked by a family when I was in Cannes in France. Oh. I was there for a television festival and I was walking and it was really hot. So I was wearing short shorts and I had my legs are very tattooed, and mm-hmm. there was a middle-aged woman and a man and their daughter and son. The daughter was probably 12. The son seemed about 15.
Yeah.
They were all wearing tracksuits in primary colors. So one was red, green, yellow, and blue. And they started to chase me through the streets of Cannes in the middle of the day.
What? Like a family mafia? With
crowds of people. They were like this very strange family. They were maybe French. I don't know. They were just chasing me. The daughter spit on me and bit me. And I actually had to grab her and throw her off of me. I didn't hit her, but I threw her off of me, which caused the son to grab my vagina between my legs, and the mom was like digging in my asshole.
No, full on assault.
What the fuck? And in the middle of the day, and so I ran actually into a clothing store. It's a high end clothing store. And I was just like really like bewildered by this attack. And the proprietoress of the store, this woman, started like going up, looking at the door and screaming at this family.
Good.
To like leave me alone. And while she was doing that, I ran out the back door. Like I went into the back room of the store behind the scenes mm-hmm. and I went out the back door and I ran. And as I was running, I could see this flash of red, green, yellow, and blue following me, tracking me on the other side of the street. So they were running alongside me and trying to like split up and find me. So then I ran into I ran into a perfume store and they didn't see me. So I sat there in the perfume store and I was just like,
oh my God,
just totally out of my mind and not really sure what to do and breathing heavy.
It's all happening so fast. Yeah.
It was so crazy. And I totally was so out of my mind and I didn't really know. I should have called the police, but because I was in France.
Sure.
I you know, I don't speak French, but everybody there speaks English. I just didn't really know what to say or what to do. And
Right.
So I stayed in the perfume store for actually about 2 hours. And the guy there was really nice. He was this really nice gay man who offered me water and We just sat there smelling perfumes.
Good. Refuge. That's...
For a couple of hours.
Oh, my God.
And I really, like, didn't know... went back to my hotel, and I really just didn't want to go outside again. And I totally buried that memory until I read about this cat dying in the park. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, this family attacked this woman. And I was just, like, so...
Yeah.
Triggered.
I'm so sorry you went through that. And... what a whole family acting wild like that. They're on the same, it's like they have conversations about it or something, like, okay, today we're gonna go attack somebody, you know, and I'm gonna have your back. Can we wear matching tracksuits so we can see each other and we can split up and know where each other are? That is
it's so bizarre. Yeah. It's kind of like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, but like terrible.
Yeah, they're the villains, like a family of villains.
And then, like, 2011, like, so scary.
I thought at first, you know, like, maybe it's like, oh, Margaret Cho, we want your autograph or something, you know?
No. It was, like, kind of a hate crime, kind of a weird sexual rage incident. It's kind of an anti-female thing, kind of an anti- tattoo thing. It was a very strange experience.
At least when you were, like, prejudiced against for your tattoos in a Korean spa, you got a free Korean spa day out of it, you know?
Yeah, I did get a whole spa day out of it.
Yeah, right?
That's true. I didn't get anything out of this. Oh, I did get some perfume samples, and I did get a lifelong appreciation now for high-end perfumes.
You became a connoisseur just from 2 hours.
I became a nose.
Yes.
So weird. Okay. So we're going to take a break. And after the break, we're going to talk about another very strange incident, not in the same vein, mm-hmm. But this episode is full of very strange incidents. We're going to talk about John Allen Chow. We'll be right back.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We're back. So John Allen Chow was a guy who was determined to be a missionary, mm-hmm. and he wanted to convert people all over the world. Did you hear about this case, John Allen Chow?
I did. I totally saw the picture of him. Like, he was a blogger, right? So he was always hiking or something. I remember this story.
He was a blogger. He was on Instagram. He was a beef jerky marketer.
I'd never heard of that job before him. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it makes sense because if you're an adventurer, you're going to want foods that you can take with you that are going to keep your energy up. They're not going to bog you down. They're not going to have too much sugar in them to make you tired.
That's true.
You know, you get sick of a protein bar.
Right. But talk about a multi-hyphenate blogger, athlete, beef jerky marketer, and missionary.
Yeah. So in November of 2018, he went to an island in the Indian Ocean that was called the North Sentinel Island. It's one of those places that is so isolated, although it's very close to society. I mean, there's a major city, Port Blair, which is 50 kilometers away. Lucia. She's so unreasonable.
She's very upset about what happened to you in 2011.
She's just coming to terms with it now. She said, hey, come here, baby, Lucia. So this is such a weird story of John Allen Chow. And like, I did some research on it. I did a lot of like YouTubes on it. There's a lot of weird, like animated stories on YouTube about it.
Wow.
So North Sentinel Island is an island that is in the Andaman Islands, And it has a small population of people who are, I guess the right way to talk about them is they're uncontacted.
Sure. Right.
They're people who just are there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who have no real relationship with society at large. There's no...
No Wi-Fi.
Cell signal.
Mm-hmm.
No Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. It's all dial-up.
Yeah.
It's all...
I'm like...
If you...
It's kind of like Palmdale. There, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. It's not far from... Like, it's kind of like Indio. They can't really figure out how long the people have been there, but they imagine it's a while because the turtles are afraid of them. Mm. And it takes turtles... many generations to become afraid of people.
Whoa, interesting.
In a region. So turtles are not afraid for a long, long time. Like it takes turtles like several generations to become afraid of the people there. The turtles are definitely afraid of the people on North Sentinel Island, the Sentinelese.
Wow.
And so the estimates are 60,000 years. That this group of people have been on the island point that the turtles seem to have figured out, they don't like turtles. I think because they probably eat turtles or whatever. I mean, you know.
It's kind of messed up that turtles are just slow in general, you know.
They're just slow. Well, they live a long time, so maybe it's not slow to them.
Oh, sure.
Like turtles live a couple centuries.
Right.
So... for them, slow, it's kind of relative. Like, it's like, well, it's like slow for you, but...
That's very true.
You know, for us, it's really, it's not that slow because their time is like a longer time.
I didn't think about that. That's, yeah.
So John Allen Chow, he had, so his father's Chinese and his mother is white. So he's biracial and he is like... going through this thing that a lot of my Asian friends, a lot of my Korean friends go through, like they really long to belong.
Mm-hmm.
So I come from a lot of people who are very into church. They're very into like defining as like a youth minister, which to me was like so creepy. Like I had relatives and stuff who would be so impressed because they would see like the news story in the Korea Times about an 11-year-old Korean minister who was like going into hospital rooms and praying over people with, you know, incurable diseases. And I'm like, that's just weird.
For sure. It's interesting. It's youth pastor, you said?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing about youth pastors is like, you dedicate your whole life to trying to make God cool to teenagers.
Yeah.
And that's very specific, you know, specific personality.
It's a very specific personality, but it's a longing to belong. And I think that if you're biracial, as far as I can see, it's like you're not one or the other. You're both.
Right. I get it.
So it must feel hard to belong. Like in that Asian experience, the biracial people that I know always sort of like thing of like, where do I fit here?
For sure.
Like what side of me is more in control?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's something that I'm like, oh gosh, I understand that need to belong and to be seen.
Yeah.
And so I get it. But it's also like, to me, like religion is just so, I don't know, it's just so boring.
I know, I agree. That's why I was like, this is a hard story because my heart does go out for John. And I totally get it too. You know, my Taiwanese side of the family, they're very Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the church always welcomes immigrants, right? So that's how they get immigrants. They first got here, they needed a community. And the church said, how about God? And there's free lunch here too, you know, and... Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to fit in. And so I totally get it.
My grandfather was the minister of Kamni Gyohe in San Francisco, which is in Chinatown. And it was the biggest Korean church in San Francisco. And it really was a kind of welcoming house for anybody who was emigrating to the United States. You would like have your friends meet there. You would meet your spouse there.
Mm-hmm.
It was less about the religious aspect and more about the aspect of having a community.
Right.
And a sense of like a group identity. and feeling so othered in America,
right?
Especially in the 60s and 70s, they needed a place like that.
Yeah.
So I can see like the emotional resonance people would have towards churches and towards ministry, because mm-hmm. at least it's like being together, but I just don't want to go to church. I don't want to be like,
me neither, Margaret.
Worry.
Me neither, Margaret. Sundays I like to sleep in. Okay. You know,
I like to sleep in, and it's so boring. Like, I think it's so boring, except I did like, there was one church that I liked, was a really Hollywood church. It was Agape.
Yeah.
In the early 2000s, I would go.
It's like a hip, yeah, it's a hip it church. Fun. It's a hip church. They sing like,
they had like a good choir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they didn't seem like they were anti-gay. Like a lot of those like hip sort of churches.
Right.
They're all pretty like anti-gay, but like that one didn't seem that anti-gay. It seemed kind of cool. Like there was like, I think gay church is cool. I think like a gospel choir is cool, but a sermon, I'm just kind of bored.
Yeah, and I totally get it. You're like, that's the same reason why I stopped going too. You know, I was like, mm-hmm. I can't lie to myself about who I am. I want to be at drag brunch again. It's Sunday.
Right.
And so, yeah, but Agape was about like, it's kind of your own process and your own relationship with God, if I remember. So it's not about like word yeah. for word, do what the Bible says. It's more like, your own, it's more about being spiritual.
Yeah.
And yeah. back to like, you know, being immigrants and wanting to feel like you fit in. Once you get out of like, let's say you're going to a Korean church and you're Korean. Once you get out of that, when you meet white Christians, you feel like, oh, we have language here. We can really connect too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. 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 And there's just something, I mean, I don't know, like I get like the community of church and like the friendship aspect. And also in Korean churches, you would want to like show off your wealth. So the, at that one point in the 80s, like the parking lot was chock full of Mercedes. Like it was just like Mercedes parked so close together, like packed in,
sure.
you know, and you would like wear your fur. And then I had like a short and sassy hair, Dorothy Hamill haircut.
Ooh,
and
okay.
So like, I wore that in like a Gunny Sacks dress.
Yes.
It was so 80s.
It's about being seen.
It's about being seen and seeing each other. And then we would go get dim sum, which was so delicious after. That's how they bribed me to go to church, is that we would get to go have dim sum after.
In
Chinatown.
Yeah. And then there's a cool aspect too. I mean, this is Korean churches for me. I was introduced to cigarettes via Korean Christians. Okay, so.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It was like mm-hmm. Korean Christian teens that were like, we smoke cigarettes. Yeah, we go to church too.
Yeah, we're like the bad bitches of the church. The, I would hang out with the Chinese church girls at Cameron House, which was another sort of like, San Francisco church-led youth organization. And yeah, we were just allowed to be shady and still be kids, even though it was like quote-unquote Christian.
Right, right.
So John Allen Chau, he had gone to Oral Roberts University, where his father had gone. Mm. To me, I'm like, Oral Roberts, is that the pool boy one? No, that's Jerry Falwell.
Yes, the Falwell Church. Yes, which Falwell is getting sued by the church right now, and the school, I think.
Oh, yeah, because of the pool boy or?
Pool boy and just being wild on Instagram. He just gives no fucks anymore. And is just posting like,
oh,
just like posting pictures with his like pants unbuttoned on Instagram. And like,
oh,
yeah, yeah. Just being like, F you, everyone. So the church is like suing him because it makes them look bad. The school.
That's so amazing. I mean, yeah, I don't know. The Christians are so weird, but it's just be open about your freakiness, which at least he's being open about his freakiness now instead of like, mm-hmm. you know, the sort of covert pool boy activities.
For sure.
But the Oral Roberts to me is like, is that a toothpaste? Like Oral Roberts is like really like, what is that, like Oral B? It's very like,
right. Oh. Is it a Christian school though?
It's a Christian. It's an evangelical school.
Got it. Okay.
But it's like a legit, I guess it's like a legit college.
Sure, but I'm sure someone's mentioned the name before.
I don't know.
I'm sure someone at this...
Like Oral.
I'm sure the school's like, this is not good for our branding.
Yeah, like Oral-B. Like, it's like, is this a dentistry academy? Like, it's a very weird thing. So John Chow went there and he his heroes included David Livingstone, which is like, I don't know where I heard this, but it's Dr. Livingstone, I presume, is always what you see, like somebody with a pith helmet. What is that like? It's like, is it cargo shorts and like a beige? What is that uniform? It's kind of like the professor on Gilligan's Island, maybe, or what
That's
is it?
So
is it
funny. Like an explorer? Well, isn't it, or a mailman, I guess.
Yeah, but it's I guess it's the guy that went to explore everything. Anyway, he was a missionary, and a missionary in my mind is synonymous with the colonist.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you go into these places with the mind to convert people, but then you just take their land.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And kill everyone.
Yes.
You know, whether it's intentional or non-intentional with your diseases that you're bringing in.
Exactly.
But it is ultimately intentional because it's like, you know, you're going to rob them of their culture and their land.
Yeah. It's a good way to start, I guess. You go, you need this.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like, why do they need this? You know, they all have their own religions.
For sure.
They have their own points of view. And I'm not trying to demonize John Allen Chow. I'm just thinking that
it's back to the whole wanting to fit in with like white evangelical America too, you know, for him.
Wanting to kind of have that sort of like, I don't know. Yeah. It's a need to express solidarity and identity.
Yeah.
That is, I'm going to help you. I'm here to help you. And I'm sure that it's like a noble thing. Like he's really trying. Like he's like really like, he really believes that this is good. This is actually going to be good. He really believes that these people need to know about Jesus.
Right.
That they need to know about God. And he doesn't care what it takes, that he's going to go there no matter what happens, he's going.
Yeah.
So in November of 2018, John Allen Chow asks some fishermen to take him close to the island, and he bribes them a significant amount of money to do it. It's illegal, but they end up doing it because he's giving them like, I think 25,000 rupees, which I don't know what the conversion in that.
Uh-huh.
So they do it, but they won't go that close to the island. They're like about 1,000 something feet off. So John Allen Chow's like kind of trying to speak to the people on the island. The North Sentinelese tribe are looking at him and they're kind of laughing because John is trying to like speak to them in the most similar language.
Got it. Yeah.
Which is kind of spoken in other areas of the Andaman Islands. He's trying to like speak to them and they're like kind of laughing because they think, oh, he's just saying like bad words. I mean, they don't know what he's trying to say them.
Yeah.
He doesn't really know what he's saying. So they're just like laughing. He can't get close. He's afraid. He's scared. So he gets closer and then a young boy shoots at John with an arrow. Mm-hmm. And hits him and he's holding a waterproof Bible on his chest and the arrow goes right into the Bible. So that's got to feel like.
Yeah, that's a metaphor.
It's a metaphor like don't come here with that. Or John, I guess, may have taken it like God has saved me.
That's so true. I didn't think about that. I would have taken it as a sign like this Bible that I'm trying to bring to them is exactly what they do not want here.
Yeah. And then I was like, what kind of why would you have a waterproof Bible? I mean,
yeah, they make those. That's my second thing that perked my ears. I said, a waterproof Bible, the pages are what, plastic?
Yeah, I guess like the whole thing's plastic so that you can go swimming with it. I mean, why? One of the heaviest things when the Arctic exploration of the terrible, terrible Shackleton thing where all of those young explorers died in the 1800s trying to find a way across the Arctic.
they carried Bibles with them, and they took Bibles instead of food and instead of supplies that they could have really used, but they had Bibles that weighted them down.
Oh God.
More than anything else. So people really need their waterproof Bibles or Bibles or whatever. Maybe, I'm not sure. It's like, why would you need a Bible? I don't know. Like if your relationship with God is just like in IRL, and you can have a relationship with God, why do you need the book there? Like, why do you need the manual?
Yeah, that just sounds like a lot of translating to do too. If you, because these people aren't reading the same language as you as well. You know?
Yeah.
So yeah. It just feels like it's more, I guess it's like, why do you wear a cross necklace? Like a crucifix, you know? Maybe it's more like you just feel more protected to have a tangible thing in your hand.
I guess. It's a very strange thing. So the last day that John was seen alive was the 16th of November, when he asked the fishermen to drop him off alone. And he had written in his diary, which he had kept with him the entire time and documented everything. And he wrote that he was scared. I'm scared watching the sunset, and it's beautiful. And you guys might think I'm crazy and all this, but I think it's worth it to declare Jesus to these people. But I mean, I feel like, you know, it's like he's trying so hard, and he wants this to happen so much, but at the same time, would they understand? Even like, how would you even explain, like, look, I'm here. There was somebody who died for your sins.
I know. I guess if there's a lot of sand, you could just draw it in the sand.
I guess, but it requires so much context in like what sin is and what is, you know, like, how would you explain to people who don't live under those systems?
For sure.
Because it's like, if you like have to explain Christianity to people, it just sounds like crazy. Like, like, well, some guy died and he could walk on water and make wine out of it, but he was killed. And now we could do whatever we want as long as we take him as our savior.
Right.
Like the Norse and the Lees would be like, yeah, I'm sorry. I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, and then you also have to explain your waterproof Bible. What the hell is that? Yeah. They've never seen that either, I'm sure.
They've never seen that. They've never seen your beef jerky. They're not following
They've
you on
never
Instagram.
Met a marketer, you know?
They don't know.
The red flag was there when the fisherman said, hell no, we're dropping you off here. You have to walk the rest of the way.
Yeah, we can't help you. But it's also like, I don't want to make it seem like, I don't want a victim blame.
For sure.
It's not about that. But it's also like, isn't it possible that he would be introducing lots of diseases to the island? I think at some point they the North Sentinelese became very suspicious of people. There was a kidnapping of children and older people from outside at some years before.
Yeah.
And the older people died right away. And the children were returned to the island. But there may have been some devastating effects of that.
For sure.
That made the people just not want any contact.
100%.
I mean, shouldn't we respect these uncontacted people to let them be uncontacted? Like, we don't necessarily have to force them into society if they don't want to be part of society. Like, right. You know, why are we sort of like somehow trying to make them be part of it? And
maybe it's more,
yeah, the whole story is weird.
It's weird. It is. And again, like, you're right, I don't want a victim blame, but maybe it's more of a cautionary tale of being blinded by your passion, you know, because John was like so passionate about doing this that he ignored a lot of the signs. And sometimes it's just a cautionary tale of that, I think, you know.
Yeah.
There was an arrow shot at you. There was an arrow shot at your Bible.
Yeah.
You know, what's that mean? Come on.
If anybody shoots me with an arrow, if anybody shoots me with anything, I'm like, okay, cool. I'm not going there.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not the smartest person in the world. But if someone's like, and I've been in relationships where the person was like, look, this is over, girl, you know, and sure, sometimes I didn't see the signs, but an arrow straight at me. Yeah. You got to read the signs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, John.
But I also am an adventurer as well. Like, I love traveling and I love the spirit of that. Like, I love the idea of like going off and going to these places, you know, that are very mysterious and different. And so I get it. Like, I do have like a long held fantasy that I'm going to go into like Borneo and get tattooed. Like, there's sure. like these like things of like, oh, I'm going to get on like one of those boats and, you know, go get tattooed in a long house.
Right.
That's kind of
right,
outside
by monks and, or something.
Yeah. I have this like weird, like Southeast Asian fantasy of things that I'm going to do for my tattooing and all that stuff. And so I guess it approaches that. Like, I like the idea of this khaki paradise where you can kind of, you know, be like all terrain, wear all sorts of like bullfrog sunscreen and just like go for it. So I admire him in a way.
Yeah.
But I'm also sad for him because I'm like, this is so crazy and sad and weird.
It is.
And also like, I understand that idea of like, I want to be seen.
For sure. Yeah. And then for his parents too.
Yeah.
Yeah. My father-in-law is a televangelist.
Oh, wow.
He's at, do you know Jimmy Swaggart?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. He's at his church. So my father-in-law is on TV every night.
Wow.
And yes, he's mega church, right? Jimmy Swaggart's mega church.
Yeah.
So similar mentality there where, but he's very white America evangelical, you know, like
yeah,
Trump supporter, you know,
mm-hmm.
totally thinks China started it, all kinds of stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And my Taiwanese family who are Christians, when they met him, they were so excited that he was excited they were Christians too, you know, that they were just like kissing his butt. And I'm like, he is a different kind of Christian. Okay. He is like Donald Trump Christian.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about this like passion and need where I'm just like, uncle and aunt, you are different kinds of Christians. You go to church because you have other Taiwanese people there. Mm-hmm. He's like friends with the Falwells, that kind of Christian, you know?
Yeah, that whole like group of people are so weird. And like, it's just that they're just trying to evade taxes.
Yeah.
I think it has to do with like the tax shelter that they don't have to pay any taxes on anything because it's a religious organization.
That's true. So, I didn't think about that. Yeah.
I feel like that's what it's all motivated by, and they've got to create a big show of it. So they love those like TV things. And it's just that the televised evangelism is, I think it's all sort of like based on tax evasion. That's my thought.
Yeah. And money based yeah. for sure. Cause a ton yeah. of money comes through.
And so much money, like where they encourage you to tithe, where you give like 10% of your income to the church, which is like, mm-hmm. that's too much.
Yeah.
For people who don't pay taxes.
Yeah.
No, you're getting like so much money then. Fuck that.
Yeah, they all have big homes. We know that. They all have big homes.
And bad taste.
Bad taste. Oh my God.
Really just bad. And ugly. I so much prefer the adventuring lifestyle of John Allen Chow of like, you know, even though I don't agree with all of it, like, I get it. Like, I like a good adventure. I like a good taking some Dramamine, again, like going in the youth hostel and putting your pack under your bed and, you know, sleeping under a mosquito net and all that stuff is like, I get it. You know, it's like, all right, I get the adventure, but I would leave the Bible behind.
I like a guy who does it for the sunset. You know, for the beautiful sunset. He's not collecting 10% of everyone's income,
No.
And living in a ginormous house, you know.
Yeah. So for Christian, as far as Christians go, I think he's one of the ones that I'd be like, okay, you're cool. It's cool. We're cool.
Yeah. And so,
yeah.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, John Allen Chow. And thank you so much, Atsuko, for joining us. Where can people find you on the social medias? Or I really adore all of your Instagrams and enjoy everything. So let the people know.
Margaret, I enjoy you. And people can find me at Atsuko Comedy. Thanks for, you know, bringing light to the situation we're in right now, you know, and it's always so great talking to you.
So great. Thank you. Today we are highlighting the Justice for Ponzu GoFundMe. The funds will support the legal fight against the attackers and also to reform existing laws that will give additional rights to pet owners. We will link to the page in our show notes. If you want to support our show, subscribe, rate, review on Apple Podcasts, and spread the word. Reach out to me on Twitter with your thoughts, at Margaret Cho, or at Instagram, at Margaret_Cho. The Margaret Cho is produced by the Irios Network.
Irios.
Powered by Acast.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.